Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Bianca here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on all our socials, so Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, and also on our blog, www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com, or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Amy.
I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we're all living the vida locked down. But I'd say now we're free, but we're not. So
it's written, the line is in there, mate. You didn't have to make something up.
No, look. Oh, and we have been in and out of lockdown ever since. I don't like that line, but okay.
No one likes it, mate, but it's reality. So welcome aboard. Well.
So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine and try to make some sense of it and of me. So what are we drinking?
I'm drinking Wiley Rooster Mellow because I cracked a bit of a bottle two nights ago and there's still some left. So, yep, drinking my precious again.
Alright.
If no one reacted to it, I'd stop doing it. But I'm still getting a reaction, so I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, but it's really fucking creepy in my ear.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
Oh, well, that's worse. I'm definitely going to keep doing it now then.
Well, I'm drinking the Sit Stay Society, which my sister so lovingly gave to me over Christmas and has been sitting here ever since. And I've been going, this is the perfect topic. I'm going to wait for the perfect topic to drink this. And tonight's the night. So it's called Ruby's Rose.
No. What's it really called?
Sorry. Ruby's Rosé.
Thank you.
God.
Every damn time.
Just fucking live with it.
Just fucking say the right thing.
No, I really don't want to.
Oh, God.
You creep me out in my ear. No, you can deal with me saying Rose. So, yeah, that's what I'm drinking.
Well, I am drinking. I haven't typed it out because I've got to find it. So we're going to rummage because, listeners, I'm recording from my spare bedroom closet.
She's a closet case.
She is one.
Yeah. So I'm sitting on a bag of, my daughter's old baby clothes. And I have just my Narnia around me. So found my wine. I'm drinking On the Grapevine Pinot Grigio. Yes, because I just need to finish off the bottle.
Nice.
Yep.
So, Amy, what's our topic for tonight?
Our topic tonight is animal celebrities. Yes, animals. Those fairy little critters. Yeah, some of them are celebrities. Who knew? Yeah.
So underrated, these celebrities.
Right. Anyway, so some animals are celebrities because they feature on TV or movies, whereas others become famous because they've got famous owners. Yeah. Other animals become famous for their own reasons. Some animals that have featured on TV or in movies include the following. Yell out if you recognize these little furry friends. Eddie the dog from Frasier.
I love that little guy.
Eddie Jack Russell Terrier who featured on the series, and he often stole the show when he was in scenes. So,
pretty sure there was two Eddies. Yeah.
Well, I'm just giving examples of how animals are famous.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Just saying.
Before you systematically fucking tear me down. Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Another example of an animal who's become famous from featuring on TV or on a movie is Lassie. And Lassie was originally a TV show based around a dog called Lassie, who was actually a dog called Pal. Over 19 years, the character Lassie was played by Pal, the dog, and its descendants.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because that show ran for 19 years, plus there was, like, all these movies. So clearly wasn't the one dog all the way through. Anyway, some animals who became celebrities because of their famous owners are, who could forget, Bubbles the Chimp.
Yep.
Now, Bubbles the Chimp was owned by Michael Jackson from 1980 to 2003. Had you asked me before I started researching this episode, how long did Michael Jackson have Bubbles, I would have said, well, 6 months, maybe.
No.
I don't really
so
remember.
Many years.
Yeah, I remember it. Like, he still had Bubbles in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the early 90s, maybe.
No.
Yeah, like black and white. That's the last I remember.
He had a and whole then, zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bubbles was like a special thing. It was like a dog. It went everywhere with him.
Yeah, and he had him for God knows how many years.
Well, there you go. I just told you 23 years. So
there you
from
go.
1980s to 2003, when it was reported that a violent altercation left Michael with no choice but to take Bubbles to a sanctuary where he's still alive and well to this day. Because those bastards live forever. Now, this violent altercation, it actually wasn't publicly disclosed about what happened. However, some reports that there was an issue after Michael's children were born that Bubbles started acting out, which I like, I get that.
Ah, yes.
Siblings?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. However, another report I just had to mention because I thought it was hilarious. Another report said that he started to fling poo at some Japanese school children who was visiting Neverland. I don't know whether it was just because he didn't like school children or it was because he was like, run for your lives! And was flinging poo at them. I don't know. There's no way to know. We'll never know. Unless somebody can go around and ask Bubbles, that'd be great.
Thanks. I'm going to assume it's, you know, he just doesn't like children. Who does?
Right? I often fling poo at children, so, you know. Another animal celebrity who became famous from their famous owner is Tinkerbell Hilton. Remember little Tinkerbell?
Yes.
She was owned by Paris Hilton and she was taken everywhere by the socialite, often in an oversized handbag.
Was that the chihuahua?
Yes. Yeah. Little Tinkerbell lived until 2015 when she passed away from old age.
Aww.
Yeah. Now, some animals who have become celebrities in their own rights. Well, I wanted to talk about Punxsutawney Phil, who featured in the movie Groundhog Day, although that was not actually Punxsutawney Phil. It was just an actor who played him. Yeah. I mean, what kind of animal celebrity then has another animal celebrity play them on a movie? Like, I mean, this guy is like...
Yeah. Super famous.
Super famous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Punxsutawney is for people who haven't seen Groundhog Day and for people who've been living under a rock, Punxsutawney Phil makes an appearance during a certain period in Pennsylvania. And it's every 2nd of February, from my understanding. And he turns up and then he basically just does something. And then the people who handle him think that that's some sort of prediction about how much longer they're going to endure winter.
Yeah.
I don't know who comes up with this shit, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's basically what he does. In the off season, there is a group called the Inner Circle who care for Phil and his wife, Phyllis.
No.
Phil and Phyllis. Yeah.
That is adorable.
Oh my God. I freaking love that. And FYI, Groundhog Day is one of my favorite movies of all fucking time. I didn't want to go on a tangent about it and interrupt your bit. Oh, my God. I love that movie.
So do I. I love Bill Murray. Just love him.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, so despite the fact that a groundhog has an average lifespan of about 10 years, Puck's attorney Phil has been around for 120 years. Yeah. The inner circle insists that the Phil that predicted spring this year is the same one that predicted spring over a century ago. Yeah. When asked why Phil has survived 12 times longer than any other groundhog in history, the inner circle says that they have a beverage called Groundhog Punch that extends Phil's lifespan.
Oh, right. My God.
I didn't know any of this before researching it, and I this is a long bit, I know, but I just had to get this out because I was like, oh, my God, really? Hang on, there's another good bit. Okay. So they also claim that they're able to understand Phil's predictions because the club president speaks groundhoggese.
Yeah,
I'm
same.
Just sitting here, like,
same.
With my mouth open.
I learned it at school, right?
Oh, yeah, it's in the LOAT program. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Oh, I know. All right, people, I'm going to keep
tracking
so on. It's
just so weird.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Anyway, so I'll crack on with the last one, who is famous for their own reasons. Shamu, the killer whale. Yeah. The real Shamu died from a blood infection in 1971 at the estimated age of 10 years old because, well, she was captured and she was living in a fucking sea world. Yeah.
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 So since then, SeaWorld has turned the name Shamu into a stage name for a number of killer whales that perform in the park. Yeah, so those who have a bit of a yearning to watch the whales or the killer whales just swim around aimlessly in a fucking tank and be depressed as fuck, yeah, you can watch Shamu Cam, yeah, on SeaWorld's website. I think it's in America. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a bit gross. More recently.
People suck.
Yeah, people suck. More recently, though, animals have started to become social media stars. Who knew? And in my segment, which I'm going to jump into right about now, I'm going to chat to you about some of Instagram's hottest animal celebrities.
Yes.
And their legion of fans.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me the trash.
And I know this is bizarre coming from me because I actually knew when I talked to you about some of these animals, I knew of one of them. I didn't know anything about the rest of them. So
really?
Cracky. Yeah,
oh,
not a fucking clue. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea.
I'm so trashy that I actually knew them all. What have I been doing with my life? Anyway.
So animal celebrities on social media. How does this work? It's not like they can post cute selfies with witty captions, right? The answer is no. I checked just in case. I just wanted to make sure these weren't some super smart animals and we were going to end up being, I don't know, some sort of slave guinea pig to them. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
they will
so
be our overlords. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I checked. Yeah, yeah, no. Turns out they've got an owner and the owner does all of this. So, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, the owners of the animals create these social media accounts and they have manufactured their pets' entire presence on social media. That's amazing. It's crazy. Yeah. What's utterly insane is these animals, for the most part, have never appeared in movies or on TV or have done anything particularly remarkable. I mean, when was the last time one of these animals threw poo at school children? I mean, when? It's never happened. I just feel sorry for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their owner has just started an account on a social media platform and started posting them, and then boom, an army of followers. Yeah, it just happens. I'm going
to
run through.
Yeah, why doesn't that happen to us?
Right.
Like we post witty stuff all the time. Well, I think it's witty or funny.
We're hilarious.
Where's our boom? Excuse me.
I actually will touch at that. I touch on that at the end of my segment. Anyway, I'm going to run you through some of the most popular animals on Instagram, and then I'm going to tell you how many followers they have. Okay.
All right.
So, the grumpy cat. Grumpy cat. Now, I read somewhere that he died.
Yes.
Poor
yeah, it's
really?
Very sad.
Yeah.
Grumpy cat passed. But he also, he was in his own Christmas movie. He had his own Christmas movie. I think it was animated, though.
Right. Okay.
But It was Grumpy Cat's Christmas.
Yeah,
well, it's the only one out of your list that I think I know.
Yeah, that was the only one I knew too.
Yeah.
He has 2.5 million followers.
Yeah. I think I'm one of them.
And I think it was a she.
Yeah, wouldn't have a clue, mate.
I can't remember.
Then next up, you've got Nala the Cat. Yep, she's got 3.7 million followers. Now, Nala is actually Instagram's most famous cat, apparently. And it was one of the first that debuted on Insta. I legit never heard of this freaking cat, but I have scrolled through some of the pictures and they are kind of hilarious. Like, I think this cat may have had a stroke and every now and then it just like pokes its tongue out weirdly or it looks weird. And yeah, the owners just take photos of it. It is quite cute. The next one I'm going to talk about is Doug the Pug, who's got 3.6 million followers on Insta.
I didn't know Doug. I never had a dog.
Isn't there a book called Doug the Pug?
Yeah. No, that's Pig the Pug.
Pig the Pug.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's Pig the Pug. This is Doug the Pug. Insta famous, okay. Book famous. Two different.
I'm loving this picture. He looks so dapper.
And you know what? I actually tried to, I copied this when I was doing my research, threw it in so that I could have some sort of reference point to point you guys to in case you didn't know who I was talking about. Then tried to find this damn picture somewhere else and I can't freaking find it to download it. So anyway, I'll try and put it on the blog so that you can see it. It's basically him dressed up in some sort of, I'm going to say royal garb. It's got like military things and like that weird golden rope dealy.
All he needs is the big tall beaver hat
thing. Yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah, that would just top it off.
Or bear hat, or whatever it was.
Yeah. Anyway, the next one got me because I'd never heard of this bloody thing. And, yeah, Jif Pom. Jif Pom. Yeah.
I thought that was Boo.
I've heard of Boo.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was. I didn't read the name.
Yeah, Jif Pom, apparently. 8.8 million followers. I'd never heard of this dog, but turns out she's a bit of a celebrity. She was even in a film clip for, like, Katy Perry's Dark Horse, apparently.
What?
Ah!
Oh, my God.
Who fucking knew?
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's a dog. It's, like, a Pomeranian or something like that. And it's clearly, I don't know where it's come from because it's got its ears snipped, which is really sad. But, yeah, basically the owners just take photos of it in really cute, like, dog clothes. Yeah, apparently that's a big thing. I didn't realize it was a thing. I put a T-shirt on my dog once to try and stop him scratching his shoulder and he just ripped it off and then stared at me.
My daughter has completely dressed our dog before, so. T-shirt and skirt. He was not happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been.
He would have preferred shorts, I reckon, being a boy and all.
Lastly, I am going to chat to you about a pair of marmosets. So they're monkeys and they are called Diddy and Yeti Kong. Yeah. Admittedly, I was really tempted to follow these guys because after looking at them, I was like, oh my God, these things look like gremlins.
Yeah, they do. I love marmosets. So yeah, fucking cute.
They look like gremlins and they're tiny. They're like mice.
Yeah.
They're like pygmy marmosets.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what type these ones are. Diddy and Yeti Kong. Yeah, they've got a million followers. I was tempted to follow these guys because they clearly look like, yes, they're definitely going to fling poo at somebody. And they also look like gremlins, which I also love.
Do not get wet. Do not get after midnight.
Correct. Exactly. So on that note, I will thank our humble group of 200 followers on Instagram for following us.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Please don't unfollow us because Bianca works out who's unfollowed us and wants to know why. So for your own sake, just don't put us on mute or something. Don't unfollow. Bianca knows who you are.
That's kind of creepy.
It really is. All right. Well, guys, that's my segment. Over to you, Sarah.
Wow. You kept yours really nice and short.
So I'm editing this week, so yeah. I just want it to wrap up real quick.
Well, we're at 27 minutes, but there was a lot of crap. So
yeah. So I'm going to apologize, Amy, because mine's not. My bad. So this
week. And you know it.
Well, this week I decided to do an oldie.
Yeah.
And to be honest.
I was going to make a comment there, but I'm going to shut up.
Thank God the man doesn't listen to this. Anyway, I never really knew who Rin Tin Tin was.
Oh, me either. Like, I know the name. I can tell you it's a dog, but I know nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that until I was, like, a teenager.
I used to love Rin Tin Tin. It was a cartoon on ABC. Yeah, I loved it. Loved Rin Tin Tin.
Back in the day, it wasn't even a cartoon. It was live action.
I thought it was live action.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there was a Rin Tin Tin cartoon on ABC. It was on, like, the afternoon program with, like, all the cartoons and shit. But maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, keep going.
But, yeah, to this day, I've never actually seen a Rin Tin Tin movie or the TV show. So I was just doing it because he's a German Shepherd.
Aww.
And I, too, have one of those big, loud, sooky, la-la fucking floofs.
We call him Chili.
We call him Chili. Well, I call him Chili. He answers, so why not? Oh, such a sook of a dog. So the year was 1918, and the Allied forces broke through the German lines in northeast France. As the Germans evacuated the area, a young airman named Duncan and his colleagues were sent in to scout the area to find a suitable landing area for the air forces. So as they were walking through the bombed out areas near Saint Michael's?
I think that's right. Because I'm pretty sure that it translates to like my heel or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows? They found a German war dog station.
Oh.
And it was there that Duncan found a female German Shepherd who was starving and had just given birth to 5 puppies whose eyes hadn't even opened.
Aww.
Yeah, so brand newies. So
straight out the box, still got plastic on.
That's right. So he of course decided he is not leaving this dog there with the puppies. So he and his friends took them back to the base, where he made it his job to look after them.
Aww.
So when the puppies were weaned off their mother, Duncan selected a male and a female puppy for himself, and he gave the other 3 puppies to his fellow soldiers, and one of the officers had asked for the mother. And he said, yeah, why not? Okay. So he named his 2 Rin Tin Tin and Nanette. It was after the small good luck charms that the little French children had made and gave to the soldiers.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I thought, oh, that is so cute.
Hmm.
So once all the troops were starting to be sent home, Duncan convinced one of his superiors to let him take the dogs on board the ship. I want to bring my dogs home, like all the rest of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So while he was over, like, taking them back to the state, he found a breeder in New York who was able to look after the puppies while he was getting ready to travel back to California. Nanette had become ill on the ship, and despite all the care that the breeder had given, the puppy died of distemper, which is absolutely terrible. I didn't know what it was until I Googled it and I went, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
So when Duncan had arrived to retrieve his puppies, the breeder explained what had happened and gave him a replacement puppy of from her own litter. And he named her Nanette too.
Mm.
Yeah, very inventive.
So inventive.
Yeah. And, yeah, she was eventually bred with Rin Tin Tin when they were older. So, oh, for God's
my sake. Brain is just wondering. It's just consulting.
It's not Bianca, it's her brain that just wants to know.
Yeah, my brain's wondering. So he bred Rin Tin Tin with Nanette too.
Yes.
I'm wondering, like, was it his intention to breed the first Nanette with Rin Tin Tin?
No.
Unlikely. They're brother and sister. That means for very different.
Some people are dumb, though. Like,
I know.
Nah, this guy, he wasn't dumb. So once they travelled back to Southern California by a train. He returned to his job at a high-end sporting goods store where the owner frequently arranged for hunting trips for the wealthy clients. So Duncan had worked with hunting dogs before the war, so he became a regular guide and helped, you know, with all the hunting things. And he worked to train his dogs, like both his dogs. So he turns out he's a really good dog trainer.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and instead of using food as the reward, as most people do with dogs,
yeah,
a lot of professional dog trainers don't do that. They'll use like a toy reward. So you do a good job, you get time with your favorite toy.
Yeah, that's how drug dogs and stuff like that are trained nowadays, because they're just getting too fat to climb over the suitcases at the airport. I feel that. I have come home from holiday and I am also too fat to climb over my suitcase. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he decided to put Rin Tin Tin in a couple of shows where, you know, you see which dog can scale the highest fucking wall.
Yeah.
So his mate had actually just got himself a new camera and decided to go along with him and actually filmed Rin Tin Tin winning this fucking wall scaling fucking competition. And yeah, Duncan went, my dog's pretty fucking good.
Who knew?
This could work out. So it was actually around this same time that another German Shepherd had just got a starring appearance in a movie. And Duncan went, why not? This dog can do it. My dog's fucking better than him. Let's give this a shot. So he went around and he introduced himself and Rin Tin Tin to a bunch of small studios. And one of the studios, he'd actually made an impression with a couple of the people. So one of the studios was actually having trouble with one of their wolves that was performing in a movie. It was The Man from Hell's River.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, no. Never fucking heard of it. So one of the people from the studio went, oh, well, this guy came in with his dog. Maybe we should give him a call. So Warner Brothers Studio gave him a call and said, do you think your dog can play a wolf? And he went, sure, why not? So they covered him in like dirt to hide his German Shepherd marks. And yeah, that was his first role.
Okay.
So after that, Duncan decided he was going to write his own screenplay.
As you do when you have a majestic fucking dog.
Yeah. So he handed it over to Warner Brothers and they gave him the go ahead. And they put Tristan Franklin, who was supposed to be an accomplished fucking producer, whatever, in charge. And they started filming. So the film was The North Begins. And again, I've never seen it. I've never seen any of them, but it was a hit. So in 1923, Warner Brothers had signed Rin Tin Tin to become one of its stars. And he was earning, no shit, $1,000 a week.
Holy fuck, that's a lot of money for 1923.
Yeah, a fucking lot of money. He was insured for $10,000 and it was reported that each ear was insured for $1,000.
I can't even. Like, this dog's earning $1,000 per week and yet he's only insured for $10,000.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm only earning $1,000 a week. I'm like, okay, so if this dog was now, he'd be earning a shitload more than me.
Absolutely, mate.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. Kind of puts a downer on things.
I thought I was doing okay.
Listen, better than my last job, but hey.
Just, it's okay. You're not the one who's in a closet.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally.
So anyway, he was actually that wealthy that his collar had diamonds.
Damn right it did.
Yeah. But Duncan liked to cover them when he was getting out of the car because, you know, he just, it's a little, that dog has diamonds, let's mug the people. No one's really going to attack a German Shepherd, yeah, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure that I would put all my diamonds with that dog because I don't think anyone's attacking a German Shepherd.
Nah.
Yeah.
Look, I see people cowering in front of my dog and I just look at them and go, are you kidding me? He is the biggest sook in the world.
Yeah. I have had a Rottweiler and a Bull Mastiff, and both quite very large dogs. The Bull Mastiff was 65 kilos, and he is a giant cat.
Yes.
And people go, oh, my God, your dog's huge. Like, how do you deal with your kid? And I'm just like, are you serious?
Yeah. My dog thinks he's a lap dog.
Your dog thinks it's one of the rabbits. That's what your dog thinks.
My dog would wish he was one of the rabbits. He loves the bunnies. And not just to eat, no.
He does lick them a lot, though.
So. He does lick them, but he wants to clean them. He's just showing love.
Is he, though? Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Because he lets them sit on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, where was I up to? So.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm so sorry.
So.
I scrolled down. I went ahead. You know, as you do.
Diamonds were added to his collar.
Yeah.
Duncan and Rin Tin Tin.
Yeah, they weren't the only ones to benefit from the movies. So Warner Brothers Studios was a start-out company at that time. As we all know, they are massive now.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Really? Oh. To be honest, I cannot tell you a single thing they've done. Not a single thing. Maybe they're into theme parks at some point. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? So anyway, so they gained a lot of popularity, and a young screenwriter, Daryl F. Zanuck.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah.
So he started out writing the script for Rin Tin Tin's adventure movies. And he actually made his way through the studio system. So he produced many films and then rose to become one of the top executives of 21st Century Fox.
Hmm.
So.
Bet he was earning less than the dog, but.
More than likely. I will apologize to the girls if they're reading along with this because when I was dictating this into my phone, yeah, I was doing that.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah.
My phone doesn't like the words Rin Tin Tin.
Yeah.
So Rin Tin Tin.
There were gods instead of dogs at one point.
Yeah.
And Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, has now turned into Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N.
Yeah.
That's Duncan, a word. Like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
How is that more of a word than Duncan, the name?
I don't know. It's just my phone.
Dunkin' Donuts and his dog. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
What did you call it? Renton?
Renting 10.
Renting 10. Yeah.
Renting 10.
Dunkin' Donuts and his dog, Renting 10.
Yeah.
What was their next? There, tell it.
Oh, Renting 10. He was constantly working. And his living conditions were subject to the projects that he was doing at the time.
Oh.
So, as like most actors, they will stay in trailers. Well, unfortunately, Rin Tin Tin stayed in kennels.
Yeah.
Because they believed it was best to keep him safe.
I would have given him his own trailer.
Yeah, well, you'd think. Or giving him some space to, you know, run around. He is a fucking German Shepherd. They like
that. Yeah, actually, they probably did give him his own trailer at the start and then the fucker tipped it and they went, okay, kennel for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was more the insurance company that wanted to prevent him from roaming free because, you know, he might get hurt. And, yeah, I'm just like, and get this, he took his scheduled exercise intervals on a giant hamster wheel.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Personally, I think my dog would actually like that.
I was going to say, I had a Rottweiler who was very skittish and had OCD and was just so super friendly, and she was just so happy to do whatever you told her to do. She would have loved this.
Yeah. It's a problem. I think my dog would have actually liked that.
Yeah, she would have loved this.
Although he could have gone the opposite way and just looked at it and gone, that thing is haunted. It's going to kill me. I'm not going near that. No. That's as scary as your work bag that makes a rustling noise.
Or that sketchy looking leaf in the front yard that I bark at.
Yeah. He's fucking scared of everything.
Put him on your Pilates machine. He'll get used to it.
He's so scared. I just don't understand. Anyway, it's also said that during a redo of a scene, or, you know, like a overworking of a scene, he may have accidentally taken a nip or two out of his human co-star.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
But personally, if you're going to overwork a dog, they're going to get a little cranky.
And just a little bit bitey. I know I get stabbed. Sorry,
it happens. Yeah. So when he wasn't working on movies, Duncan had him doing road shows. So he also liked to take him to animal shelters and orphanages where he would provide, you know, awareness for some of the social issues that were important to Duncan.
Okay.
I couldn't find out what those social issues were.
I dare say they were paid appearances, but yeah, anyway, whatever. Yeah.
But yeah. So the last movie that Rin Tin Tin was involved in for Warner Brothers.
Rent intended.
Rent intend, yeah.
No, rent intended.
Oh, rent in. Oh, look at that. God, I've even stopped. I'm auto-correcting my autocorrects here. So, yeah. It was called Rough Waters, and that was in 1930. And it was due to the fact that talkies were becoming a thing, and no one really wanted to hear a dog barking. They wanted to hear dialogue from actors. So animals in movies kind of took a downturn, and Rin Tin Tin lost his job at Warner Brothers. So, okay. Yeah. So Duncan, he kind of hit up some of the low-budget companies and was working, you know, on the lower-budget movies. But unfortunately, in 1932... Rin Tin Tin died suddenly of old age.
Oh.
Not so sudden, he was old.
Yeah. You got to remember, back in those days too, like, going to the vet because your dog's got this weird lump on it was not really a massive thing. And if he wasn't really in big movies and stuff like that, he probably didn't have the best of medical care available to him. So God knows what it could have been.
Well, he was still pretty famous. So the news was so big that regular radio programming was completely interrupted for the news bulletin that Rin Tin Tin had passed away. And a one-hour special aired later on that week.
Oh, my God. It's a dog. It's not like Princess Diana.
Rin Tin Tin was huge. He was massive.
Huh. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. But despite his stature, like the dog's stature, Duncan had hit on hard times during the 1930s after the death of Rin Tin Tin and couldn't really afford a proper burial, so he buried him in a casket in his own backyard in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But realizing not long after Duncan needed to sell his house to make some money, he quickly arranged for Rin Tin Tin to be reburied in France in a famous pet cemetery in a suburb near Paris. I didn't bother trying to pronounce it, so I didn't write it down, but Google it. You'll find it.
That's actually a good point. Like, why is there not more pet cemeteries? Like, why is that not a thing?
Yeah. I think it could be something to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Kind of freaks people out now.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So Duncan went on to train and breed. Okay, I'm going to read this. You have to edit it. But Duncan went on to train and breed ringtone teen children over the years.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, my God, Sarah.
Okay. So Duncan went on to train and breed Rintin Tin's children over the years, preserving the bloodline.
I'm super confused. Okay. He's got – okay, so Rintin Tin loses his job. Right. Okay, cool. So yep. Then they go back to doing some low-rent sort of shit. But they had to go back to doing some low-rent kind of shit, yet when the fucking dog died, they stopped the radio program.
Yeah.
As a breaking thing. Okay. And then he also was breeding Rin Tin Tin at the same fucking time. Surely you just sell the damn puppies. How are you poor? I'm confused.
He didn't sell the puppies.
Name me a breeder that's fucking poor. None of them.
But this is like a dog where they've stopped the radio program.
Yeah, but he was earning $1,000 a week. And then he's stopped earning $1,000 a week and he's earning a lot less.
What are you spending that on, though, in 1930?
So the lifestyle that they had become accustomed to, they had kept probably going, and he's breeding dogs. So he's breeding Rin Tin Tin's bloodline. Well, he's probably got a number of dogs. They cost money.
Oh, mate, I reckon it was cocaine and hookers. But anyway.
Oh, it could be cocaine and hookers. You don't know. I didn't go that far into Duncan's past, so.
Cocaine and hookers, see?
So, anyway.
So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sense of what the fuck I've written or dictated. What my phone has written.
Okay, so. $1,000.
Come on, read it.
Okay, Sarah, this is how much he was earning. $1,000 in 1930 is the equivalent in purchasing power to about $16,347.
Yeah.
Told ya. They were blowing it on cocaine and hookers.
Oh, both cocaine and hookers.
Fine. I have not disagreed with you. Why are you attacking me? Oh, my God. Because
we're angry that the poor dog ended up in some fucking bullshit low rent fucking leper burial shit in the backyard.
Yeah, well, now he's in France where he was born.
Put it on the road trip map. We're going there.
Okay. So, yeah. So.
Can you please read the line?
No, I cannot read this line. It's please. Ridiculous.
Please. Please. I'm editing. Please. Can you just read it? Please read it for me.
Should I just read that whole paragraph the way it's written?
Yeah,
okay. Duncan went on to train and breed ringtone teens children. Over the years, a few of his offspring, bloodline, I should say, actually played Ring Team Tin 10 in the Laydown TV show, The Adventures of Tintin, until they were replaced by a German Shepherd named Flame. Okay, happy?
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah, he went on to train and breed Rin Tin Tin's children and their offspring, keeping the bloodline going. And then later on, Rin Tin Tin's children and grandchildren actually played Rin Tin Tin in the TV show The Adventures of Rin Tin Tin. Until they were replaced by a German Shepherd named Flame from a different trainer. Duncan then went on to training like over 5,000 dogs for the K-9 unit for World War II.
Wow.
I think there was about 5 dog trainers that were chosen. So they wanted the best of the best for this K-9 unit. And they went, nah, we'll get him because he's served in the war before and he can train good dogs. So Duncan kept Rin Tin Tin's bloodline going all the way up until his death in the 1960s. And then a trainer who he had been working with, Janetta Props, had continued to carry on the bloodline. Now, she had actually approached him several times before he started working with her, saying that she wanted to help breed the bloodline. And he kept saying no, 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 until finally he said, well, fucking fine, fuck off. So, yeah. So after she passed away, her daughter had carried on with Rin Tin Tin's bloodline, and it's still going today.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's my story of
as long as it's done ethically, it's cool.
Yeah, as long as it's not just being fucking, you know, a dog leased out to a person who then, you know, sends them out on dates. So, gross.
Yeah.
It was, the whole thing was he was very particular with what dogs he would breed the bloodline with.
Can't be a basic bitch, mate.
Yeah. So, yeah, and she they kind of entered a contract stating that she would do the same.
No basic bitches. Okay.
So, yeah, there were contracts, and I think there was a contract breach once, but I don't think it was to do with the bloodlines. But, yeah, it's all very strict.
P.S. It wasn't Rin Tin Tin that was the cartoon that I watched on ABC during the cartoon hour after school. No, it was Tintin, not Rin Tin Tin. Turns out they're two different things.
Yeah, Tintin. Tintin is a man.
No, Tintin was a boy. Well, no, Tintin was a boy when I watched it. Yeah.
Well, he's a boy. He was an adult, to be honest, and he had a little dog.
Yeah.
A little white thing.
Yeah, a little white thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my segment's done. Yeah.
Well, this week I'm covering the wonderful Mr. Ed. If you don't know this talking horse, what have you been doing with your life?
that or you're too after young. School? Go find
after school, go home, Mr. Ed. So, yes, first I will do a little bit of backstory. Mr. Ed's real name is Bamboo Harvester. I just knocked my microphone because my hands are flamboyant.
That is an amazing name.
Yes, yes.
Comes up with this shit.
Bamboo Harvester, yeah. So he was born in 1949 and died in 1970. He was an American cross saddlebred, part Arabian horse. His mother... her name was Zetna Hara.
Yeah, see, that's a horse name. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was part Arab. And his father was the harvester. So I don't know how they got Bamboo out of Zetna Hara, but.
Yeah. Maybe Bamboo was his favorite food.
Yeah, they probably lost him. He got out of a paddock somewhere. They found him in a bunch of bamboo somewhere, just randomly growing in the middle of a paddock. Yeah.
Yes. In America, where bamboo grows wildly.
Right? And then he made friends with a panda. Like, you know, his name was Nearly Panda Harvester, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be wrong.
That's all the backstory I have for Mr. Ed, because I was like, no, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to give you some fun facts, though, because I love those. Here's a little tidbit. Yeah. He was trained to look like he could talk. Funnily enough, the horse worked with trainer Les Hilton and got to the point where he learned to move his lips every time his hoof was touched.
No, wait. I think he couldn't talk?
This really made it look like he could talk.
I thought he could talk.
He can. Sarah, it's okay. Yes, he can talk. I'm also still in this space. He can talk. It's
fine. He can talk. He was a talking horse.
He was a talking horse. Yeah, correct.
So this was done simultaneously stumping and stunning viewers at the time. Like, you guys.
Actor Alan Young, who portrayed Wilbur Post on the show, he also said that peanut butter was sometimes used, which is what I heard. I did not know he was actually trained by touch to move his lips. I thought it was all peanut butter.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But then, again, like, I mean, if you're eating that much peanut butter, surely you would end up the size of a house.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Another fun fact, Alan Young and Bamboo Harvester were friends outside of the show.
They used to hang out together, you know, they go to bars, pick up chicks.
Went for a beer, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I wish it was that cool. It's much more mundane. So right up until the horse is dead, like, Alan would frequently visit him as California Ranch and he'd go ride him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like my story better. Yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? When you think about it.
Go and ride your friend. I mean,
yeah.
What kind of friendship do you people have?
Yeah, there's this thing where you, if you've got a big animal, you have to have a real amount of dominance over the animal. So, yeah, he must have ridden him and stuff in the show. Though I don't really remember Wilbur riding Mr. Ed much.
No.
Like, at all.
Yeah. I don't think they did.
Mm.
So, another fun fact, the show started in syndication. For whatever reason, no one was interested in Mr. Ed. The pilot episode was financed by comedian George Burns for $70,000.
George Burns funded this?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
The TV series was an instant hit following its first 26 episodes and was bought by CBS 1 year later. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know, right? Another fun fact, there was some drama with the theme song in the 80s. So Miss Ed was, well, he was dead by now. And then all of a sudden there's drama. So we all know the theme song. I have it there.
Sing it. Do it.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed. Oh, horses, of course, of course. And no one can talk like a horse, of course. And that is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. And it goes on.
Nobody knows the rest, it's fine.
No, nobody does. Nobody does. So in 1986, a preacher from Ohio, surprise, surprise, claimed that the cheerful theme song had satanic messages when you listen to it in reverse. And let me, just letting you know, listeners, I tried and I didn't hear anything. So, yeah, anyway, the preacher claimed you could hear the source is Satan and convinced a group of teens to burn around 300 cassettes of secular music that praised Satan.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
This is why I hate religion. I hate it so much.
I know. I know. Do you want to know another fun fact? Do you want to know a fun fact about religion? The devil, or anything to do with Satan, it's not in the Bible.
No.
No.
It's not. Oh, my God. Yeah. I could go on a full rant about this. But anyway, keep going before I get on my soapbox.
Another fun fact. Mr. Ed was kind of a diva, and I love this. Apparently, when he was over filming, the horse would just walk off set. Like, that's a power move. Right?
Same. I mute myself all the time and just walk off during these episodes. Just saying. I'm over this shit. Just
I'm going home.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So my last one.
A fucking trailer. A big one too.
Yeah. No hamster wheel for him.
Nah, fuck no.
No. No.
He retired to a ranch, Sarah. Poor Rin Tin Tin ended up in a box.
Yeah.
But that's because he never retired.
So my last one's a bit of a downer. So, yeah. And then I'm done. So think of something funny to say after this. The story of the horse's death is unclear. So one rumor says that the horse died from a tranquilizer in his stable in Burbank, California. Another story says that he was euthanized at a farm in Oklahoma. The last more likely story is that due to his failing health, so he was just old age,
Yeah.
Following the show, he was euthanized in 1970.
Yeah.
His kidneys actually failed or something like that. So, yeah.
It happens.
I reckon it was the last one.
That or he could have had a tranquilizer overdose. I mean, you know how these diseases are.
Well, he did have his own ranch and all that money. So.
Yeah. Tranquilizers and hookers. I mean,
yeah.
Tranquilizers and hookers. Seems counterproductive, but okay, Sarah. If that's how you party, mate. Tranquilizers and hookers.
Well, first comes the hookers, then comes the
His lifestyle. Who are we to judge?
Okay. And then he started tranquilizing hookers. All right.
No. He wasn't a trucker, Sarah. He just rode on the trucks. He wasn't an actual trucker.
I didn't say that one. Bianca said that one. Bianca took the downturn. Shit.
I don't know. Like, maybe he's just feeling a little Bundy. I don't know.
There's a lot of unsolved hooker murders on highways in between Burbank, California and Oklahoma. I'm sure that could have been attributed to Mr. Ed around that time. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I looked it up.
Maybe.
I think we can make the link. This sounds like so much fun. Continues.
Tranquilizers were actually used. Overdoses of tranquilizers were used to euthanize farm animals all the time. So it could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes. Well, Mr. Ed, we salute you. You filled up my mornings when I bunked off school because I pretended that I was sick. And then often when I would come home, you would fill the time between DuckTales and I don't know what was on before that. So, before Mr. Ed, it was Mr. Ed, then DuckTales. It was amazing. Yeah.
I think it was Bold and the Beautiful, to be honest.
See, I'd always get home right at the end of Mr. Ed when it was on in the afternoon and then, DuckTales. So you filled in that 10 minutes, mate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Talking horse.
Yeah. Salute.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Well, I've had so much fun researching this topic, as did we with all our topics over the past year.
So many topics.
So many topics.
4,000 topics.
Well, actually about 52, to be honest, but, you know.
Technically, we did two in the first one, so 53. If you want to get technical and shoot me down, come on, play me, bitch. I dare you.
Oh, fuck off. However, we would love to hear some topic suggestions from our listeners.
It's 54.
So anyway, if you have a topic which you would like us to discuss or just hit upon, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com or on any of our socials, which is all of them.
Yeah, we're running our socials. Reach out to us. We will talk to you.
Yeah.
They run our socials.
Even if you don't want us to talk to you, we may talk to you. So.
Yeah. I know that one for a fact.
Yeah.
So to everyone who
has listened. Now she can't leave. No, I mean, the broken ankles probably don't help. But
no. We hobble her regularly.
She's in here with me.
If you hear a weird echo from Bianca, it's just Sarah's feedback off her mic because she's tied to the inside of Bianca's cupboard.
So to anyone who has listened to this, anyone, everyone, to those who have survived.
Does anybody get to this point?
Yeah.
Tell us.
You'll get a prize.
We would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter rubbish, and we hope that you have found it entertaining and that are not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important life decisions, unless it is in relation to a protection chainsaw.
Or naming your dog Rent Intended. I feel like that's okay.
Yes.
Look.
Or naming your dog Renting 10.
Yeah.
So, I'd just like to say, bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.